Alrighty, one session left for today. What does the Bible say? He who endures to the end will be saved? Well, let's take our Bibles, open them just for a minute to Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. We've heard the verses read. And we're looking at, in this particular final session of the afternoon, world religion on the horizon. We're going to look at the divine perspective on world government and world religion for that matter. Satan's goal of instituting world government and world religion, how the stage is being set for the coming world religion of the future. And, you know, sometimes in prophecy conferences, it kind of comes across like the world has gone to hell in a handbasket and everybody leaves depressed. But that's not really the purpose of prophecy either, is it? The whole point of this is to give us a dose of realism, but at the same time, remind us that God is in control. Do y'all believe God is still in control? You know, God hasn't lost control of anything. So, let's start with the divine perspective on world government. We've already read Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9. Just call your attention to a few things. You'll notice there in verse 4 that they were building a city and a tower. Now, that's political. But then it talks about how its top will reach into heaven. That's spiritual. So that we might make for ourselves a name. What was happening here at the dawn of human history is what some like to call the first United Nations conference. There was a man named Nimrod. He is actually mentioned in the biblical text in Genesis 10 and verses 8 through 10. His name in Hebrew literally means revolt or rebellion. God had told those after the flood to disperse. Genesis 9, verse 1, and humanity decided to do the exact opposite. They decided to shake their collective fists in God's face and do things their own way. It's sort of interesting to read the comments of the first century historian Josephus on this passage. Josephus interprets it as they were actually trying to build a tower so far into heaven that they would never be flooded again. That flood that God sent, that judgment that God sent, the great deluge, we're going to insulate ourselves from that. And so essentially what these people were doing is they were building what is called the New World Order, which is a one-world system of politics, economics, and religion. It's got all three elements in it that excludes God. And we learn in this story what God's point of view is on world government. God disrupted what was happening. Why did God do that? Why was God so against man's first attempt at world government? You'll find the answer there in Genesis 11, verse 6. God says, now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. You think about this for a minute in terms of potential for evil. Think of the potential for evil that would exist if only one government exists on planet Earth and that government falls into the wrong hands. It falls into the hands of an Adolf Hitler, a Saddam Hussein, a Fidel Castro, etc., 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 and there's no countervailing force anywhere on the planet to oppose them, you could see the evil that the human race would be plummeted into. And the interesting thing is that when you go back to Genesis 8, verse 21, you learn that God knows something about human nature. This statement was made about human nature just before the Tower of Babel project began. Right after the flood, the Lord smelled the smoothing aroma And the Lord said to Himself, I will never again curse the ground on account of man. Watch this. For the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. This idea that human beings are inherently good is not biblical. All of us have a bent towards sin, a sin nature. In fact, we've all inherited a nature that's at war with God. And that's our condition under Adam, the first Adam. That's why when we receive Jesus Christ and we are born spiritually, God makes no attempt whatsoever to rehabilitate our old nature. He gives us a what? A brand new nature. And so God knows something about the wickedness of man and the evil of man. And God knows what Lord Acton summed up so well. All power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts what? Absolutely. You cannot best a fallen person with maximum political, economic, and religious control over the whole world, because the time in history will come. It doesn't even matter if it's the most well-intentioned person, for they will abuse that position of power and use that position to oppress other people. And so God, here at the beginning of human history, divided the world into nations. The concept of nations is something that God Himself created. And when you look at all of these scriptures here, I wish we had time to look at it, what you discover is the normal ordering of things ever since the Tower of Babel, as far as God is concerned, is the individual nation state. God is against world government. He's in favor of political power being dispersed amongst various nations. And that's what we call a balance of power. That way, if evil gets control of one government, what can the other governments do? Arise and oppose and challenge the evil in that particular government. That's what happened with the Allies in World War II. But such a balance of power becomes an impossibility if the only power that exists is one world governmental power. This is why God moved into fast operation here and disrupted what was happening at the Tower of Babel. So therefore, nationalism is one of the institutions that God created. There are certain institutions which the Creator Himself established. These are all found in early Genesis, and they're designed to curb sin in a sinful world. We have the institution of conscience, Genesis 3, verse 22. We have the institution of marriage and family. By the way, this business of changing marriage, changing it to two men or two women or two men and a child or trans this or that, we don't have the right to do that because we didn't create marriage to begin with. Amen? I mean, if we created marriage, we could change it. But we never created it. It's something God gave to the planet. You have the institution of human labor, the institution of government itself, and then we have this fifth institution coming into existence in Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9, the institution of nationalism. God wants the world ordered according to individual nations. He wants political power separated and dispersed. He doesn't want power being concentrated into one person's hands, given the corruptibility of human nature. You remember what the Apostle Paul said on Mars Hill in Acts 17, verse 26? He made reference to this. Paul says, He made, that's God, from one man, every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined the appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. Doesn't boundaries remind you of something? Kind of reminds you of borders, doesn't it?